Blog Talk Radio.
About what there's what says Yah. And some of you may be wondering and perhaps asking yourself, Yamsuf, What if somebody came to you arguing, fussing, and fighting, and name calling, and whatnot about Yah's word? I said, well, look here, they can do that after the born. I mean, I'm not going to do it back to them. I ain't got time for that. But I would like to hear their interpretation of what Yah said. And I would tell my interpretation what Yah said. And then let the Most High make the decision. I'm not about to argue, cuss, and fuss with nobody. I don't think that solves anything, nor is it constructive and a positive. And nor is name calling my brothers and sisters in any shape, form, or fashion. So, no, I don't have time for that. But we do have time to do some intensive study. Are you down with that? Are you down with traveling through time and to see how our founding fathers act, how they comported themselves, how they solidified their relationship with Yah and our each other? Because you know what? What I found out through our intensive studies, that we are a social people, or should have been. And we are a people that are dependent, most importantly, in our social relationship with our Creator. And secondly, our relationships with each other. No, so that's why I don't have time for that nonsense. So if they choose to talk about Yom Suf, and I think Cottrell would agree with me, I don't, they say whatever they say, they want to say. I mean, it is what it is. But I don't have time to reciprocate. So that being said, let's, before we get started in our study, let me bring my brother and friend on from New York, Cartier. May the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Shalom, family. Shalom, Brother Yom Suf Ari.
Thank you very much, my brother. Thank you very much. Shalom, brother.
Yeah, so starting off with an interesting conversation. I mean, people going to criticize you, talk about you when you're doing something.
Exactly.
So, as long as they're talking about you, that lets you know that you're doing something right.
Ain't that the truth, brother? Ain't that the truth? Well, Cadriel, let us do something then, brother. Let us get started in our study. Go to the, you know, we're almost done with Bereshit. I think we have about, including tonight, let me see, 50, including tonight, we have about two more chapters. Let me see now. Let me look at it. Tonight is 49. And, okay, we have 49, 50, 49. We move right along. We'll start in the next book. Let me see. Today, 49. Let me see. That's 49. Let me see. Friday. We'll start in another book. So let us get started. Turn to chapter 49, please. No, I think, let me look at this again. Yeah, 49. I don't know what my thinker's at today. I do apologize.
It's 48.
No, 49.
I think we left off where?
Now 49. Remember, we were talking about the blessings and... Because now, remember, you were known when we started 48 yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's 49, Cartrell.
All right.
All right. So, turn to 49 of Bereshit. And Yaakov calls his sons. And he says, come together, that I may tell you what is to befall you in your days to come. I tell you about relationships. Assemble and listen, O sons of Yaakov. Hearken to Israel, your father. Listen to me. Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might and the first fruit of my vigor, exceeding in rank and exceeding in honor, unstable though as water. You said, excel no longer, for you mounted your father's bed, you slept with my woman. I ain't forgot that. You are unstable, you undependable, and you mounted your father's bed, you slept with my woman, and you brought disgrace. My couch, he mounted, putting it all out there, in front of other brothers. If they didn't know, now they knew. Put it all out there. Don't that we're gonna hide. I know all about what you did. And Simeon, you and Levi are a pair. Y'all two peas in a pot. Their weapons are two of lawlessness. You use your weapon as two of lawlessness. Now think about that. The Levite tribe. And they certainly did use their tools as the tools of lawlessness, unfortunately. Their father knew them then.
Instruments of cruelty. Doesn't say tools of lawlessness.
Okay, that's cool. Well, they did. Truth be told, let's use your book. And certainly, our priests use their tool as an instrument of cruelty. Let not my person be included in their council. I don't even want to be in y'all council. Let not my being be counted in your assembly. For when angry, they go and slay men. You kill men. You mistreat a man. And certainly the father knew them. Remember when Dina got caught up and they slayed that whole town? And when pleased, they maim oxen. You just keep on doing wrong. Cursed be their anger, so fierce. Your anger, you're so fierce in your anger. You let your anger get out of control. You don't control your anger. Your anger controls you. It is so fierce. And your wrath is so relentless. You don't know when to give up. I would divide them.
That's not a blessing. It's a curse.
I know it. He said, I would divide them in Yaqub, scatter them in Israel. He said, I'm going to tear y'all two apart because y'all ain't good for each other. And then he says to Judah, your brothers shall praise. Your hand shall be on the nape of your foes, their neck. Your father's son shall bow low to you. Judah is a lion's whip. Oh, pray, my son. Have you grown? You've grown up. He crouches down like a lion. He's always waiting and watching, like the king of the beast. Who dare rouse him? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor ruler's staff from between his feet. So that tribute shall come to him, and the homage of people be his. And certainly that is the case. The king from the tribe of Judah. He tethers his ass to a vine, his ass fold to a choice vine. He washes his garment in wine. His robe is the blood of grapes. His eyes are darker than wine. His teeth are whiter than milk. Then you, Zebulun, you should dwell by the seashore. And he should be a haven for ships. I told you, each nation had different expertise. You should be a haven for ships. And his flank shall rest in Sidon, Askar. With a strong-born ass, crouching among the sheepfold. When he saw how good was security and how pleasant was the country, he bent his shoulder to the burden. It became a toiling shift. Askar was a man that we used to, had a much more deeper connection with the earth. And stubborn, somewhat stubborn too. Strong bone ass. You just stubborn, big stubborn, strong. But you're crapping them on. But you look after the sheepfold. And you are having an affinity to the earth. Dan should govern his people. It's one of the tribes of Israel. Dan should be a serpent by the road. That ain't pleasant. Waiting to bite somebody, a viper by the path that bites the horse heels so that his rider is thrown backwards. look like Dan is always somebody you should be watching out for. He did his thing. Whatever Dan did, he did his thing undercover and make a move on you. I wait for your deliverance. Oh, Yah, Gad shall be raided by raiders. But he shall raid at their heels. He should be like the raiders. Asher, bread shall be rich. And he shall yield raw dainties. He like pleasant stuff. He likes real pleasant dainty food. Naphtali is a hind let loose, which yield lovely forms. Nice looking folks. Is a wild ass. A wild ass by a spring. Wild coats on the hillside. Archers bitterly assailed him. They shot at him and harried him. Yet his bow stayed taunt. He was always in the ready. His arms were made firm by the hand of the mighty one of Yah. There the shepherd of the rock of Israel, the Elohim of our father who helps you, and Shaddai who blesses you, blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that crouches below, blessing of the breast and womb, the blessing of your father surpassed the blessing of my ancestors to the utmost bounds of the eternal hills. May they rest on the head of Joseph, on the brow of the elect of his brothers. Benjamin, you are like a ravenous wolf. In the morning he consumes the foe. In the evening he divides the spoil. Benjamin was a close-knit clan, and they was tough buddies. They were like a ravenous wolf. Then they divided among each other. They looked out for one another in the tribe of Benjamin. All these were the tribe of Israel, 12 in number. And this is what their father said to them as he bade them farewell, addressing to each a parting word appropriate to him. Then he instructed them, saying to them, I'm about to be gathered to my kin. Bury me with my father in the cave which is in the field of Ephraim, the Hittite, the cave which is the field of Machpelah, facing Meremeth in the land of Canaan, the field that Abraham bought from Ephraim, the Hittite, for a burial site. There Abraham and his wife Sarah were buried. There Isaac and his wife Rebekah were buried. And there I buried Leah. But you know, Rachel wasn't buried there, because she was buried on the rope when they traveled. They couldn't keep a body like that. Just like we can't keep bodies over a course of time. So they had to bury her, his favorite. But even he had the respect, even though he didn't love Leah, Leah wanted to be loved, but he gave her respect and buried her in the family plot. And the field and the cave in it brought from the Hittites. That's why I said, we are about relationships. When Yaakov finished his instruction as the relationship he's given his sons, to his sons, he drew his feet into the bed and breathing his last breath, he was gathered to his people. I mean, that's why I always say we are about relationships, and we're about honest assessment in our evaluation. Not to hurt or belittle, but to call it like it is in order to use your shortcomings and our weakness sometimes to improve you, to make you better. But to call out your shortcomings, though. But see, some of us, unfortunately, because we fail to do our studies, we think that just putting each other down, and we have a grand old day. That's just fantastic. Put another brother or sister down. But if you're going to put somebody down, set something in place to encourage them. Bring out their positive, just not just their negative. But bring out something positive about it. But that person, that male or female. But because we don't do our studies, we don't understand the nature of the rocks we are hewn from. We have become like our oppressors. When it's, in fact, it says, don't choose to become like your oppressor and choose none of their ways. It seems like we have adopted all their ways and then some. But we've doubled down on it. That's so unfortunate. Cottrell, my brother and friend, what say you?
It's very interesting that Jacob was able to look into the souls of his sons.
Exactly.
And know who they were.
Uh-huh.
And give them that final blessing, which is
exactly.
A custom in ancient times that fathers did for their children, which is lost on us today because we don't do nothing like this.
We
gather our children together and we pronounce a blessing on them, not nothing negative.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
There's some negative stuff in here, but on top
right.
of it all, in the midst
right.
of it, he's blessing them.
Exactly.
So your book read funny when it came to Joseph.
Right.
My mm-hmm. book says,
read it.
Joseph is a fruitful bow,
mm-hmm.
a fruitful bow by a well.
Uh-huh.
Verse 22. Y'all say he's yeah. a wild ass.
Yeah, but you know how they do it. Read the whole thing in its entirety about Joseph, Cottrell, if
yes.
you will. Okay.
His branches run over the wall. How we know that? Because Joseph blessed everybody, didn't he?
He certainly
Egypt,
did.
Egypt to Canaan and all the nations that came around him. But the archers have bitterly grieved him, talking about his brother.
Mm-hmm.
And people just hated him. Potiphar's
mm-hmm.
wife hated him, got him thrown in jail because he wouldn't comply to her.
Right.
It says, shot at him and hated him. But his
right.
bow remained in strength. And his arms and his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty Elohim of Jacob. So he relied on the God of his fathers the whole time he was in Egypt, right?
Exactly.
And what does it say? That because he did this, the Most High made his hands strong and made him firm. From there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. So wait
exactly.
a minute. I thought it was Judah. But by the Elohim of your father, who will help you, and by the Almighty, who will bless you with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lies beneath, blessings of the breast and of the womb, the blessing
right.
of your father. So Joseph is actually getting the firstborn's blessing. He didn't give
exactly.
it to Reuben. He told Judah he was going to be the leader of his brother.
Right.
But actually, Joseph is getting the firstborn blessing. Why?
Exactly.
You might say that he was biased. And
right.
yes, he was, because Rachel is Joseph's mother.
Right.
So he's actually transferring what he got onto Joseph.
But it goes to show you, Cartrell, the tribe of Judah needs the tribe of Joseph. It needs it.
We all need each other. We need all 12 tribes to be in sync with one another.
Well, that's without a doubt. But I'm saying Joseph should exert much more influence over all the tribe. Although Judah, the king, come through that tribe, Joseph should be able to exert a lot of influence over all the tribes.
Well, the tribe of Joseph did. As a matter of fact, it started with Joshua. We're going to get into
yeah.
that. Judah
right.
and Joseph. It was Joshua and Caleb from the tribe
right.
of Judah, from the tribe of Joseph. And then we talk about the split of the nations, right?
Right.
Judah and Joseph, splitting the nation
yeah.
up. So they had mad influence over the other brothers, Joseph
right.
and Judah. That's why the nation was split.
Joseph went with the 10 tribes,
yeah.
and Judah with Benjamin and the Levites.
That's right.
Yeah, they did exert. But see, that wasn't the Most High intent, though.
No. And it's ironic that Joseph's little baby brother sided with Judah instead of with Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
So why did Benjamin join Judah instead of Joseph, his brother?
Because Benjamin knew what was right.
Benjamin knew Judah better than he knew Joseph, though, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They spent more time together, didn't they?
Exactly.
Okay. So Benjamin didn't even know his brother Joseph.
Right. And then he knew Joseph, he knew when Judah had told his father, look at dad. And I'm sure he was present. You know, if they try to take Benjamin, I'm going to say, no, you can have me. I think that carried a lot of weight with Benjamin. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. No doubt. He put his life on the line for his little baby brother, Benjamin.
Right. So they carried a lot of weight with Judah. And Judah was, and Benjamin said, man, this man going to give his life for me. And I got to give my life for him. You know what I mean? So.
And those are things that they hadn't forgotten throughout history. That's why Benjamin and Judah was buddies.
Well, and you know what, Contreras? That showed me, and that should show the fellow students, that they talked. They talked. They talked about their history.
Oh, yeah. Like we're talking about it now.
Exactly.
It was an oral history, but it's important to pass it down from generation to generation so that we improve as a people, not to go backwards.
And because you recall, but you recall also, Cartier, doing our studies tonight, he told Simeon and Levi, I'm going to separate y'all. Y'all two together, y'all just hot mess together.
You know how that go. You see teenagers, when they get together, they get their mojo up and they start doing stupid things.
Right.
But they won't do that individually by themselves because they know better. But when they go with their friends, they get amped up.
Right. Each
so
one of
them. Letty,
right.
They were able to amp each other up.
Right, they MC, they get each other fired up. So you wonder why Simeon went with the 10 tribes and Levi went with Judah, because Yaqub said, hey, I'm going to on this blessing, I'm going to separate y'all because y'all are a hot mess together. And see how they got separated? That's one of the reasons Levi went with Judah and Benjamin, because his father had said, I'm going to do this for, I'm gonna do this to you because you're a hot mess together. Okay?
I used to love Muhammad Ali.
Uh-huh.
Because he always brought his brother to the ring with him.
Didn't he, though, man? Didn't he?
You remember his brother?
Yeah, I remember.
His kind brother looked just like him.
Yeah, kind of favored him a lot. And then, you know, a lot of people try to put Ali down, even when the, what is that guy with the bald head? And he's Ali.
But Lenny Brown.
Yeah.
Bundini, bro.
Bundini. A lot of folks was telling Ali he needed to get rid of Bundini because Bundini had a drug problem. Ali wouldn't do it. He was loyal. Ali wouldn't do it. And Bundini was loyal to Ali. He loved Ali. And Ali loved him. And you know what? Even in spite of the fact Ali being a so-called Muslim, he exercised much more loyalty than some of us does. Some of us do. And we need to learn to be loyal to one another. I think we, as I said, we have become so miseducated and we've become so churchy and religion and don't really.
And it divides by design. Our enemies know how to divide us. They listen to our conversation and they know how to divide us.
Exactly. And we need to.
Into the trap.
Right. And we need to stop that, Cartrell. We need to stop that because that is not working for us. We don't get any points for that. We don't get 1 point for that.
A house divided can't stand. So as long as we divide, how can we really stand?
And see, that's why you find out Cartrell and I, we don't get on this show trying to do personal attacks and denigrate people. That's just the most high business. That's his job to judge us. So that's not our bit. Now, we may talk in a generalization about certain things, but we don't specifically get on this show and specifically point out someone to denigrate in a public format. Unlike some of I imagine some of them don't mind knocking me and Cartrell around like we're going to get off that. Cartrell, brothers and sisters, turn to Job chapter 27. And in this chapter, Job is maintaining his integrity, in spite of what is so-called Pharaoh, sort of like me and Cartrell, so to speak. Although we're no ways like Job. But you have to maintain.
In a lot of ways, we are, because we try to maintain not our point of view or anybody else's point of view. We're exploring and learning the word of Yah, like it's never been done before We're going through this book chapter by chapter, brother. And we're saying what Doug says, yeah. It ain't what Yamsu said. It ain't what Katriel said. It's what y'all reading in the books as y'all read along with us, what the Most High is saying, in accordance with how our ancient fathers lived their lives. And we're looking at their examples and their relationship with each other and with the Most High. So we can maybe glean some wisdom, you know, based on our own actions in comparison to them.
Exactly. Do a juxtaposition of comparison according to us and our ancient fathers were, and see how far off the mark we are. We have so many shortcomings. And a lot of people say, Yamsu, you think you're better than anybody? I don't think I'm better than anybody. Although I don't think anybody is better than me. But I have a lot of faults that I don't lack about me and that I work on. So, no, I don't think I'm better. This is not about am I better than someone. It's about do I have any integrity when it comes to the word of the Most High? Do I have any credibility when it comes to the word of the Most High? It's not about lacking me, as far as I'm concerned. Do I have any integrity? And Job is trying to maintain his integrity.
Better is not a bad word, because
right.
We all should be better.
Right.
We're not trying to be better than anybody else. We want to improve on our behavior and our relationship with the Most High. So we have to be better.
Right, and try to maintain your integrity with your relationship with Yah and or each other. And yes, I believe in credibility and integrity. I'm sure Cartrell does, so I can't speak for him. But I'm sure he believes in integrity and credibility and a righteousness under the mandates of the Most High. And he tries to toe the line, just like I do. And I hope that that's the reason why you're on this study session, that you try to toe the line. That don't make you perfect, but you just try to toe the line. And you got to do a self-examination. And somewhat is like Job is about to do a self-examination, unlike so many other of us, unfortunately, they don't do self-examinations. And when you don't do self-examination, what can I say? Well, chapter 27. Let's get into it. May the Most High bless you, fellow students. And most importantly, don't go alone in these studies and these travels to feel good about yourself. Go alone, as Cartier alluded to glean something so you can be right with yourself under the Most High mandate. Okay? And not leaning to your own understanding. Okay. Job says, moreover, continued his discourse. As Yah lives, who has taken away my justice? The Almighty, who has made my soul bitter, he has taken away my justice. That's what Job is alluding to. And as long as my breath is in me, and here's the beautiful part, and the breath of Yah in my nostrils, the air you breathe comes from Yah. He said, the breath of Yah in my nostrils. My lips will not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. Far be it from me that I should say you are right. He's telling them, man, far that I'm gonna tell you that y'all are right. I'm not gonna lie on me till I die. I will not put away my integrity from me, no matter what y'all are saying. And that's the way you should feel. My righteousness under the Most High mandate, I hold fast. It will not let go. My heart should not reproach me as long as I live. May my enemy be like the wicked. And he's referring to them. He who rides up against me like the unrighteous. For what is the hope of the hypocrite? And he's implying that they're hypocrites. Though he may gain much, if Yah takes away his life, will Yah hear his cry? When troubles come upon him, will he deliver himself? in the Almighty, that hypocrite? But that hypocrite always call on Yah, and he's saying, like I do. Now, let me tell you something. I would teach you about the hand of Yah. What is the Almighty I would not conceal? Surely all of you have seen it. Why then do you behave with complete nonsense? What y'all talking about don't even make no sense. Why do you behave like that? And this is the portion of a wicked man with Yah. And the heritage of oppressors received from the Almighty. If his children are multiplied, is it for the sword? And an offspring should not be satisfied with bread? Those who survive him shall be buried in death, and their widows shall never weep, these hypocrites. Though he heap up silver like dust for them, and pile up clothing like clay, because they're hypocrites. He may pile it up, but the just will wear it. Everything he's piling up for himself, the just will have everything you got. And the innocent will divide the silver. He builds his house like a moth, like a booth which a watchman makes. Temporary. The rich man will lie down and not be gathered up. Not by Yah. He opened his eyes and he is no more. Terror overtake him like a flood. This wicked hypocrite. A tempest steal him away in the night. The east wind carries him away and he is gone. It sweeps him out of his place. It hurls against him and does not spare. He flees desperately from his power. Men shall clap their hands at him and shall hiss him out of his place, this wicked hypocrite. And the fine analysis, what Job is saying, I'm right with y'all. But y'all talking utter nonsense. Y'all ain't number hypocrites. Even though you've accumulated a whole lot of things, you ain't going to enjoy it. But I maintain my integrity with Yah. But you act like you don't even know Yah. That's what Job's saying. So I suggest that you're nothing but hypocrites. Trying to blame me for some wrongdoing, when in fact of the matter is you. He sure flipped the script on him, didn't he? Contrail, what say you, my brother?
I say that the prophet Job, the book of Job, is so important to Israelites that are waking up now.
Right.
Because Job is before Moses was even born. Mm-hmm. And here it is, he's talking about good and evil, righteousness and unrighteousness.
Exactly.
He's talking about his integrity. He's talking about deceitfulness and wickedness.
Right.
Which means that all that existed and people knew about it way before Moses was even born. So there was a standard in the earth that Yah used to judge. And Job realized that the Most High took away justice from him, not because he did anything unrighteous, but he realized that he's being tested. As long as he lives, he's going to give the Most High the praise. And that's his testimony. So you can say anything you want to say and try to frame it any way you're trying to frame it. But you should know God the way he treats the wicked and the way he treats the righteous, right? He
right.
told him. He said, if you don't know, let me teach you. He said,
right.
If God takes away his life, will God hear his cry? What is the hope of the hypocrite that he may gain much? If God takes away his life, will Elohim hear his cry when trouble comes upon him? Will he delight himself in the Almighty? Will he always call on Elohim? So supposed to always call on Elohim anytime you're in trouble. He said, if you don't do that, let me teach you what the hand of Yah is about. What is the Almighty? I will not conceal. Surely all of you have seen it. Why then do you behave with complete nonsense? because they know what he's talking about.
What Joseph, man, y'all like y'all crazy.
But he got him.
He got
him. Like, this is the portion of a wicked man with God and the heritage of oppressors that they receive from the Almighty. Right? So he knows he's not an oppressor. He knows he's not a wicked man. And he's seen what happened to wicked men and oppressors. So he's laying it out. This is what, if y'all haven't seen this, let me lay it out for y'all.
What is it? If you don't know, now you know.
But Job got a lot of fight in him.
Don't it though. He ain't laying down.
It doesn't matter that he's being criticized and trying to be pushed into the grave by his friends. You got to keep on keeping on. You know, you got to keep his faith in Yah. Stay strong, just like it's the blessing of Joseph. Joseph could have wilted out. Joseph could have said, man, ain't nobody here but me. I'm in the middle of Egypt. I might as well do what the Egyptians do, right?
I might wear wild out.
Yep, while I'm here. But no, because he always called on the Elohim and knew that the Elohim was watching out for him, the Most High, and that blessing that Jacob gave him, he could see that the Most High made his hand strong and made him firm in his character, in his integrity. That's why he got the blessing that he got. Joseph's blessing. And Job about to get himself a blessing too, as long as he remains steadfast. And the same thing happened to Job, as Elohim lives, who has taken away our justice, and the Almighty, who has made our soul bitter. Right? He did the same thing to Job, to us, that he did to Job. We asking for the oppressor. We asking the oppressor for justice. And we telling him no justice, no peace. We telling our oppressor to live up to his constitution for him, not for us. But it's Yah that took away our justice, true righteousness. So our souls are bitter.
Right.
We don't have real justice.
Right.
Yah's going to bring it, though, eventually. Right. But we got to be steadfast like Job and Joseph.
Exactly. Exactly.
Which is why we go through these scriptures like we do.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to find out the when, what, how, where, and why. How are we supposed to do it, Yah?
Yeah, we have to, and we have to pay attention to the details. We can't skirt over anything. And just when you go back, as I suggested, and I suggest all the time, when we go on these travels, just look around as we're talking, as we're communicating. And don't just go along for the ride and sit in the wagon. We need you looking at the wagon. Cartrell and I may be the wagon drivers, but you in the back of the wagon. Won't you just look at, we may miss something. We trying to focus on the driving. So it's incumbent upon you to help us out. We all in this together. So you, as I said, Cartrell may miss something. I may miss something. What's your eyes? What you doing with your eyes? You sitting there in the back of the wagon eating bonbons and cupcakes? No, come on now. You need to be on your knees looking outside of the wagon and working with us together. That's what it's all about, working with each other together. It's always have been about that and always should be about that. And we all need each other. Thank you, Cartrell. Well,
I just want to add that when you hear this knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, you become responsible for it. Now the ball's in your lap. You can't just sit on it and not act on it. Or you could not act on it and pay the consequences of it. But when you hear Yah commanding people in the earth that he created and he's giving us instruction to do, you hear it. Now you're responsible for it.
And
what you do with it?
Yeah, and you're supposed to do something with it. You know, you got, and that is apply it. You know, just taking all this knowledge and putting it in your back pocket and ain't doing nothing with it. They ain't helping you and nobody else. You got to apply it. That's why I always said on these burning the midnight oil sessions, that once you've learned and once you become familiar with what you've learned, you got to start putting it in your life and let it dictate. Stop leaning to your own understanding. Because
and our purpose is to unite our nation, the nation that the Most High chose. this nation that the Most High scattered because we were so hard-headed and stiff-necked. We're trying to help our people change and become humbler and to seek Yah like we're supposed to. So our job is to help our people bring this nation back together. Stop asking your oppressors to become Americans because they're not going to let you do it.
Exactly. Well, Cottrell, we've come to the end of two study sessions. Now we're looking for the last study session of lovely songs, as all of them are, from you. ASAP.
Yes, sir. Aesop. He's not a fable. He's writing prayer. I love that book, Aesop's Fable. You remember that book?
Yeah, I used to love them. I used to love them fables. I mean, they had a meaning behind them.
Yep. It was always a moral to the story.
The moral of the story.
So we're in the 82nd chapter of the Book of Psalms, and how apropos that Asaph wrote a plea for justice. Wasn't we just talking about justice in the book of Job?
Yep. Well, as you always say, Cottrell, this stuff is synchronized. We ain't got to do nothing but do it.
And you see how it flows. So we in the 82nd book of Psalms, 82nd chapter. Another song, Asaph. Praise Yah. Elohim stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. This is the action you're supposed to be taking, right? Deliver the poor and the needy. Free them from the hand of the wicked. That's what we're trying to do, right? Because we caught in the net. We caught in the web. And it's worldwide. The net and the web. And we caught in the wickedness of the world. And we're trying to free our people, the poor and the needy, from the hands of the wicked. Because they're not offering us anything towards our salvation or our future or our hope. They do not know, nor do they understand. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are unstable. All the foundations of what?
Earth.
So our mission is to do what? Defend the poor and the fatherless, do justice to the afflicted and needy, deliver the poor and the needy from the hand of the wicked, right? That's our job, while all the foundations of the earth are unstable, and we walk about in darkness. What you call them? Walking dead Negro? I ain't heard that term in a little while.
Walking dead.
Because they don't know, nor do they understand. We lack that understanding and that knowledge. I say, y'all are saying, you are Elohims, you are powers, and all of you are the children of the Most High. He's talking to all of us. For you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Why? Because we try to act like men, and we fall like the princes we try to imitate. Arise, O Elohim, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all nations. Praise Yah.
Praise Yah.
Judgment is coming. And Israel is not the only nation that's going to be saved. There's nations that do righteousness. There's nations that do wickedness. And Yah is the final judge in that manner. But there are going to be nations that survive this judgment and are going to have to give glory and praise and honor to their creator. Because he already owns them. But in our eyes, we're going to realize that the Most High owns us, all nations.
All right.
We're done.
All right. Well, Cottrell.
Uh-huh.
Fellow students, it's been a ball. As always, it's been a pleasure. I really enjoy these studies, and I hope y'all do too. But Cottrell, what's your closing remarks?
Yeah, for me, these studies are like that water, the fountain of living waters that we should drink every day. Don't just wait, you know, for 5 days a week. We should always meditate on Yah's word. We should always, you know, continue to search it out and apply it to ourselves, like you say, so that we can become as strong as Joseph and as strong as Job and really make preparation for our deliverance, our salvation, the true salvation, not the ones they're selling in religion, but the ones that Yah is speaking about here in the words that we're reading and the chapters that we're going over. So, again, this is not my word. This is not Yah Suh's word. re-examining what thus saith Yah. And it's so important to pick up on what he's saying, because it's so beautiful when you really understand.
Well, thank you, Cartrell. And thank you, fellow students. I don't have to reiterate on what this brother just said, Cartrell, my friend from New York City. It's going to make an easy night for me. I don't have to say no more on that note. Only thing I will say is this. It's been a wonderful time. It's been a wonderful study, burning the midnight oil session with you, learning the Most High Word. But Cartrell and I, we don't know where you're going. But just we do know, you finna get ready to get out of here. May the Most High bless you, direct you. May you stop leaning to your own understanding. Why? Because our thinkers are broken. We need to be totally dependent on Yah, as Job said, under any given circumstances. Stop leaning on our own understanding and give Yah the praise for everything you are, for the breath you breathe, his breath in your nostrils, because you are totally dependent upon him, whether you know it or not. Well,
and don't worry about the people that criticize you when you do it.
Is that? Oh, that comes with the territory, Cartrell. You already know that. May the Most High bless y'all. We love y'all. Love you, Cartrell. Y'all
love
see
you.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Brown grass on the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I'm open wide to the truth I left behind. Her love so hard to find. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Brown grass. On the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I made a mess of the life I had with you, in search of something new. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Why didn't I know that she was a essential part of me? I thought that I needed to find me, and I needed to be free. Why didn't I know that she was all that I would ever need? I looked at the distant view and thought it was for me. But now I know it was just brown grass. On the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I'm open wide to the truth I left behind. Her love so hard to find. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Thought that I needed to find me, and I needed to be free. Why didn't I know that she was all that I would ever need? I looked at the distant view and thought it was for me. But now I know it was just brown grass. On the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I'm open wide to the truth I left behind. A love so hard to find. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass.